This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
Elevate your mind. Expand your thinking.
And so my soul, back.
It's the E-Square Podcast.
E-Square Podcast, y'all. I'm Easy Mo. I'm kind of nervous for this one, for real. I'm not even going to lie. We got the landlord in the building. What's good, bro?
Love, bro. You already know.
How you doing, man?
Chilling. Blessed.
I appreciate you pulling up, man. You want to take this shot real quick? Are you
a
sipper?
Half of it. Yeah, I'm a sipper.
Okay,
so
me too. Me
so
too.
I'm take half.
But
of
cheers,
it.
Bro.
Toast.
Don't stop. Yes, sir.
Toast
appreciate
up.
It. Can I say a few things before we get started?
You good.
Okay, man.
Let's go.
I got some things to get off my chest. This is like a crazy moment for me, for real, because, you know, I grew up, I went to Legacy, so I went, you know, Northtown, but, you know, growing up, it was like through middle school and through high school, like, you're the God, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you, we grew up listening to you in the locker room. We grew up, like, hearing about you, watching you on MySpace, and it was just, it's crazy to me that you're here sitting across from me on my show. And, you know, I appreciate it, man.
Bro, this is the type of shows I actually want to. I told myself once the album was getting closer to dropping, I want to do all of my interviews, start off all my interviews in Vegas and then with people that actually seen from then to now, you know what
right.
I mean? So this is like a perfect
for sure.
situation.
No, me. Yeah, you've been on such a journey, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the younger gen or the new generation really knows.
Man.
You know? And it's crazy because the conversations I have, it's like, you know, you had to be there, but it's just like, you know, it's undebatable, bro. It's undebatable,
sure.
Like your influence,
sure.
The consistency, you know. The younger generation, man, if you don't give the landlord the respect he deserves, if you don't pay the landlord homage, if you don't give the landlord his credit, man, kill yourself. For real. Like, if you don't, like, you don't.
What he said.
Man, it's crazy that, I don't know, bro. You know, the new generation is way different than, you know, how we grew up. But, yeah, man, how are you still going?
Bro, honestly, you know, I never really ever lost the love for the music, bro. And especially when I converted from the punchline shit to We Cussing Cool.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Converting from the punchlines to venting about my personal life, personal situations, and you know, people around me situations. Once I started doing that, then I just felt the new love for it. You know, it started being therapeutic and things start feeling lifted after I start opening up about certain stuff. So, you know, from that to this, I never really felt, you know.
Yeah. Well, I asked you that because you said something referring to Starlito, where if it wasn't for him, you would have dropped the mic. So,
yeah,
it's been a long time, and I'm sure, like, anybody doing anything for as long as you've been rapping.
For sure.
Have had conflicted emotions about if they want to keep going or not.
I think with the situation I was in, I just think that I premeditated a lot of the stuff I was doing so much that I thought that at the end of everything that I was doing, you know, like even just running into Floyd and all that whole situation, I just thought that I planned everything out proper. And at the end, I thought it was going to be a bigger reward, you know, than it was. So, you know, when you go through that, you kind of like, you get, you know, unfocused a little bit and get a little discouraged. But I never really thought about literally stopping music. It just was a frustrating feeling to where I just was like, I'm going to slow down on investing all my time and my money into this shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a crazy situation too. Like linking up with Floyd and and I don't want to focus on that. But
for sure. But
it's just crazy to me because, you know, those two paths were bound to cross, you know, you being the guy in Vegas, but it's weird because he's just the greatest boxer of all time.
For
you know
sure.
what I'm saying? It's not just like some random dude, you know what I'm saying? So that's just why,
sure.
you know, Vegas is a crazy, crazy city, man.
Definitely can't take that from him, for sure.
But yeah, so the evolution of the landlord has been, has, has been crazy, bro. Like you said, now it's more therapy.
Yeah,
for sure. But I just, I reflect a lot, and I try not to get caught in the past and, you know, back in the high school days and all that shit. But 100 bars and running, bro, was like a pivotal moment, I think, for all of us. You know, it changed a lot. I know for me and my friends, it was like, damn, like, he's from Vegas. Like, that was unheard of and unseen.
Yeah.
The video, too, it was a crazy moment, man.
Which is crazy. I actually literally, right before I came here, I was at the gas station. A dude rushed me and said the same thing. Bro, you're the hardest out. You're harder than Meek Mill. I was just like, what? But he's just like, you're the hardest out. He's like, man, I've been listening to you since 4 Much and 100 Bars and running and boom, boom. Yeah. And he started rapping and shit. I was just like, oh, that's dope.
I think that was one of the things that kind of
caught Floyd's attention, the 100 bars. He was like, he was a big fan.
How old were you when that happened? 100
bars and running, and I had to be like, okay, I don't quote me, but I think I was like 20.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like 16.
Nah, you know what? That was... wasn't in high school.
But you look like you were in high school. Yeah, you look so young.
I think it was right after high school, I think.
Okay.
I think that was like, I think it was right after high school. I had to have been like 19, 20.
Yeah.
I don't think I was 21 yet, because I remember turning 21 in Atlanta. I had moved to Atlanta. Me and my boy had moved to Atlanta on some music shit at like, you know, I was like 20 years old.
I didn't know that.
After all that stuff, you know, my little buzz in Vegas was kicking up. I said, look, we're going to move to... just Atlanta. I actually was planning on moving for a year. I stayed like 6 months, but being there, I actually
talking to Mike.
Yeah, actually being in Atlanta, and I remember being under 21 out there, so I had to be under 21 in the video. But I just remember saying, "Look, when I turned 21, I called Twix. Twix is a promoter that was promoting 21 and up events. I called him. I called somebody else that was doing events, and I was like, bro, look, I'm coming back to the city, but I need you to put me on some venues. I need to perform in front of some adults. Because I was doing all of the young kid events, and, you know, a lot of them was getting...
Club Frozen and shit.
All that shit, yeah, exactly. Club Frozen.
Yeah.
Was doing all them, and then, you know, they was getting... them venues was kind of getting... it was a lot of kids there, so they was getting... shot up and all that shit. So I told them, look, when I come back to the city, I need to get in front of some adults, you know, so I can try to take my music career to another level.
Yeah. What was in Atlanta? Did you have people out there?
Nah. It was really just on the fly. I didn't have nowhere to stay or nothing.
you just packed your bags and said, fuck it.
Drove my car and everything. Yeah. We dipped out. It took like a day and a half because we kept stopping, sleeping and shit, getting hotel rooms. But yeah, I just had... we didn't just change the environment. It's not only so much I can do out here, you know, because being born and raised in Vegas, your music do hit different if you're talented just because you're from here. So I think everything that I was doing in the streets and then with the music, it hit fast. So I was just like, bro, I need to get somewhere else and try to do this same thing that I'm doing in Vegas,
right? You
know, in another city.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell people that all the time, but I mean back then, yeah, because the internet wasn't what it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But so you didn't have like, yo, I need to get Jermaine Dupri to listen to my shit. It was just,
you know what? In the beginning, that's all I was on, is trying to get in somebody's face.
Yeah.
Trying to get in somebody's face, rap for somebody. You know, that was my thing, like in the beginning, you know, just watching how everybody else was getting on, you know, around the time when I started rapping. It was like, oh, I seen this person in rap form and they gave this person my demo. So I did have those aspirations in the beginning, but then as I start, you know, moving along, I just was like, look, I'm going to keep rapping. I'm going to keep creating, and hopefully it'll bring them to me. You know what I mean? I'm going to stop trying to run and find people. I'm going to just try to keep creating content, and hopefully somebody will come to me.
Are you still independent?
Yeah. Well, I'm with Grind Hard right now. I'm with Starlito at the moment. You know, but we just an independent company that we do what we want. You know what I mean? So it's not like being from a, you know, a label where I can't create my own,
right?
You know, music.
Right. Is that always been like a frustration for you coming out of Vegas? Like, you know, I tell people all the time, Vegas is like an island. We're just surrounded with dirt. For sure. You know what I'm saying? Has that been a frustration for you throughout your career, just not being able to get in front of...
In the beginning, it was. I actually just learned to really deal with it. But it's frustrating. Now it's more frustrating seeing other people kind of go through it because they don't know what... You know, Vegas being that it's so small and it's so many... so much non-opportunities that we got. You watch people be desperate. You know what I mean? Even me at one point in the beginning, like even with Floyd, like if I was rapping now and met Floyd, I kind of would like appreciate the love and keep it moving. But when you come from Vegas, no opportunities, you be so desperate that we jump on every artist, every producer, anybody that walk through this motherfucker, we gonna... You know, the whole city gonna jump on it because we don't get opportunities. So we like literally desperate for opportunities. And that's the only thing that I hate. It's like, damn, everybody, no matter, you know, I don't even fault them for it, but we don't have opportunities. So it's like, as soon as somebody start rapping, you can be talented and they just, you know, we fly into the biggest name that we see because we don't have them names, we don't have them labels out here, you know what I mean? So we desperate and we do a lot of dick riding and shit, you know.
No, for sure. It's like an emotional thing, you know. Like if it's the fame factor, like we're not accustomed to that yet.
Exactly.
You know, so we don't know how to act when it's around.
So what happens is you get a lot of artists, they start rapping and then you know you had a lot of Vegas people saying that you hard, you tight, and then everybody get complacent and comfortable. You know, you got artists that try to go farther, but we so small, like I said, we have no opportunity. As soon as somebody start rapping, you get 100 comments saying that you hard.
Oh, yeah.
People get complacent. Oh, yeah. That
they made it.
I blew up. I'm famous now. Somebody said they wanted to take a picture with me in Vegas. I blew up. But like I learned that real fast. Like, all right, this is cool. This is where I'm from. But I have to.
Yeah.
Move around because
no, 100%, bro. The delusion is real. Like artists, this is what I've been seeing. Like an up and coming artist, they'll get like 50 of their friends and associates, 75 people, and telling them sharing their music and telling them they're hard, and they think they're the city. They think they're the hottest in the city, and it's like, bro, you have so far to go. Like the music, like to be successful in music, even to be mildly successful in music, it takes years.
Man,
you know, finding your fans, building that fan base, selling merch, you know, selling tickets.
That's why I be wanting the artists in the city to know, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they literally have in their head that, oh, I blew and I'm this and I'm that. Yeah. It's like, bro, you'll get swallowed at these.
Man.
When you dip, you know, dip south or dip east, like, come on, bro, you gotta. But it's the good thing is you could reach those cities with the click of a button now. Right. You know, back then when I started, you want somebody in Cali to listen to your shit, you gotta drive to Cali.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
So now you can like go worldwide like this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's almost like harder now though, because the internet, like if it was like the beginning, like 5 years ago, I think it'd have been like that. But I think now it's so oversaturated. It's almost like,
oh, that's facts.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's facts.
So I think it's gonna get back to where you gotta get in front of people again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But what is that out of town experience been like for you? Like coming from Vegas, experiencing the fan culture here, and then, you know, getting your music heard by other people in other places.
It's growing. It's literally growing fast now. You know what I mean? And I salute, you know, the whole grind hard situation kind of gave me like a fan base south, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And farther that way. And just to hear people embrace, you know, somebody from Vegas, where, like I said, we don't get embraced like that, you know what I mean, musically. So just when I run into people on the road and they just like super, super fans of everything that I created, and then they ain't even really, you know, some of them ain't even dug deep enough to really, really know. But just the fact that they love the music that I'm putting out, or just to say that I actually help somebody with some of the music that I put out, it's like, coming from Vegas, like I said, you don't get admired musically by nobody unless it's your peers, you know, the people in Vegas, you know what I mean? So when you step out of somewhere and say, hey, you bull, can I get a picture with you? It'll never get old to me.
Yeah, no, for sure. Why has nobody done a documentary on you yet?
Man, it's
I know you got a couple little mini ones,
been,
but
it's been like people been trying. I don't know. I just think people haven't really nobody really got the method to, right. to putting out a real one. You know yeah. what I mean? Because everybody that I run across asks the same thing. Man, let me do a documentary for yeah. you, and it's always like this small or. It just ain't, you know yeah. what I mean? It ain't nothing that I'm actually, like, okay with putting out. But, you know, once somebody that I feel like really know how to front to back, because mm-hmm. my story, you know, started before music. So mm-hmm. I want somebody that's willing to, you know, walk that line because right. it's a thin line, but it's my story, you know what I mean?
100%.
So anybody that's actually willing to get deeper into it, yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, well, do you feel like it's not time yet? Like you're still on your journey?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. I mean, like, it could happen. Like, I was just, this is the same thing I was talking to somebody about yesterday. Like, they was on the same thing. Like, man, you got so much. You should make a movie about yourself. I think I got so far to go, though. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I think it would be inspiring to see something like that, a documentary. But I do feel like the movie is still on right now.
No, 100%. If anybody in Vegas deserves one, it's you. You know, when I think about, because I love my city and I'm born and raised here and I love my city a little bit too much sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And, you know, when I think about the Mount Rushmore, you know, it would be, you know, you without question, and I think maybe Fats. And, well, obviously, no, not maybe, but for sure, Fats and a couple other people. But, and it's not just about the music. For me, it's about the influence. You feel me? It's about the YBE movement, you know?
Yeah.
That's something that before Vegas has never seen, and then after, you know, until now, it's like when you think about a music, just a group, any group involved in hip-hop, Vegas ain't never seen nothing like that, bro.
Right. I actually feel like if we had the internet then, like, you know how it is now, YB would have been out of here.
Yeah.
If we had the internet and people was like gravitating to young niggas that's mm-hmm. actually living what they talking about yeah. and all that, I think we'd have been out of here.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, all the pieces.
All of it. I think, like, the impact we made in a city that wasn't even musically cultured, like,
at all.
Just to see that, I just know if it was the internet, we'd have been out of here.
Yeah, well, it was just MySpace back then.
Even that, you know, that came, it came, but yeah. it still wasn't like, you know, like how it is now. Like, you drop on YouTube mm-hmm. and go crazy.
Mm-hmm. What, that's what I wonder, man. Like, before you, what was here musically?
Man, it wasn't a lot of music. That's the thing. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
And man, I hope people know that. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't no blueprint to follow like that. But I do hear a lot of people salute people in music in Vegas, but I never hear a name that I ain't gonna lie, I was inspired by a lot. And that's Weez Mac. I don't know if you heard of him.
Oh, no, probably. Mm-mm.
Before me, Weez was really that deal. Like I said, he didn't have enough outlets to be as big as he should have been. But mm-hmm. that's somebody that I was inspired by musically. But, like, as far as a real blueprint, because even then, like, when I came out, it wasn't no videos. People, like, even mm-hmm. people that was rapping, they wasn't shooting videos to the stuff. So
right.
soon as I started rapping, I'm like, bro, I gotta shoot videos. And soon as I started shooting videos, I was like, bro, I gotta make a website. I didn't really have nobody to go off of.
That was all new.
It was all new.
That's
so
crazy. Now you can make a fucking website for $20 a month,
you
man.
You feel me? Yeah, for sure.
No, you're right about the music videos too. Like, people still talk about SU. You know, yeah. and he never shot it. He
nobody,
has no music
said.
Videos.
Nobody, we didn't have no blueprint to follow. Like, it's different when you got a bunch of rappers coming out. You can literally follow the blueprint and figure out how to get on. Like, mm-hmm. we had no blueprint. I was just out here just trying to, you know, be as creative as I can be.
So you didn't have an old head, like, guiding you with the music?
See, this is the thing. I just talked about this in my last interview, but... since it's Vegas, it probably will mean more. When I was a teenager, like, before I started really rapping, I wanted to rap like
13, 14, one of my homeboys from my neighborhood, he got like a little deal. He started rapping. They gave him like a full studio to rap in.
Like he got a record deal?
It was like signed to the street, you know, some niggas that just had some money type shit.
Okay.
And one day I was told him, he came to the neighborhood, and I'm just like, bro, I want to rap. And he really was like, come to the studio, told me where it was at. And I went up there, and I actually made a song, and it was like dope. And like 2 days later, he got locked up.
Hmm.
And he did like 12 years. Hmm. But when he went back, I went back to the streets. I was like through with it, mm-hmm. you know, because I ain't had nobody else to help me. But I actually made that song when I was like 13. And then.
You still got it?
I don't. Damn. I wish I did, though. It was hard. But it's just so crazy because he got locked up. And then I came back, you know, rapping, you know, once I got a little bit out of, you know, at the end of high school and shit. But before that, like. I actually made a song, and he really sat there and really, it was my first time ever recording, and he really sat there and dealt with me doing, you know, it took some hours, but he really sat there and dealt with it. Shout out to Dead Mees, Saving to Nine. That's one of my inspirations also. Just, you know, being a kid, he was the only person I seen, like, rapping and shit, so for sure.
So, but what made you want to rap, though?
Man, when I got out of high school...
So you didn't start rapping really till after high school?
Exactly. That's when I was fucking around, but I wasn't like trying to really rap.
Were you battle rapping?
Yeah, I was doing a lot of battle rap.
Damn.
Man, I being Stone. Me and my partner Stone was talking on the phone last night talking about that. And he was like, bro, you was really out here like embarrassing people. But I found out fast that wasn't, you know, it wasn't no career in that shit. Mm-hmm. But I literally had like 7 battles and they was like bad, but
bro, I couldn't imagine Landlord battle rapping.
Bro, I really felt like a battle rapper, though. Yeah. Like, the way I was, because nobody, at the time, I was, like, super, like, watching the battle, like, the Reed Dollars and shit. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So people didn't know how to deliver it. So people I was battling, they sitting there, like, rapping their songs, but I'm knowing how to deliver it and just kind of embarrass them type shit. So, but I got off of that real fast. But after I moved to Seattle after high school, you know, like,
for what?
I went to school. I tried to go to school for a little bit, but it was just mainly after high school. The police was already fucking with me in high school, like bad. But after high school, they started like, it was like popping up in my grandma's house a lot. Like, it got to the point where they was asking about murders and shit that I knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I just started feeling like talking to my mom, I'm like, all right, they trying to put something on me shit. I got to get up out of here. My mom was like, yeah, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Seattle. I was chilling. I actually got a job out there and shit. I was working at McDonald's out
there. Seattle. Is it just because you had like a scholarship or something?
I had to pay.
But how'd you pick Seattle?
One of my boys was already out there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
One of my boys was already out there the year prior. So when that shit happened, I'm talking to him. He like, bro, just come out here. I'm like, I'm coming out there.
Yeah.
So when I get out there, it's a whole different setting. Like, I'm actually able to drive in my car with my windows down and all that. So it was just like...
Nobody knows who you are.
Nothing. I feel great, you know, just because, like I said, I was leaving. You know, shit was getting so hot in the streets. We were just doing too much. You know, young niggas just doing a lot. And then I moved some of my partners out there. And then some shit happened out there. Then I moved back to Vegas. And when I came back to Vegas, I was like, bro, I got to do something different. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started. I was just like, I'm going to jump in this music shit.
Yeah, you felt like the trouble was just following you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, damn.
And I was just trying to think of what could I use, you know, where my life and the shit I've been through actually could benefit me. And that music really only thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I wanted to ask you about that, too, because Vegas is such a... not hip-hop city, not welcoming to hip-hop at all. So the police, after you know, 100 Bars of Marin came out, and you know, you're getting some steam, did they start fucking with you more?
Yeah, for sure. Every time I try to perform somewhere, they like was contacting the promoters out the gate like, nah.
Really?
Don't do it. It's the last one he did.
That's
I shot
sad,
out.
Man.
And, you know, and to the point where some promoters was just like, hey, look, we still gonna do it, but you know, and then when it do happen, it's like, it's, you know, the police start telling people like,
you can't do it. Like, they was suggesting that they don't do it, but then it started being like, all right, if he's on the flyer, it's not happening type shit.
That's sad, bro.
And that was like, that's when I was on some shit like, I'm gone. That's when I moved to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand when they, like, why are they trying to block your blessings like that? You know, it's...
I just think that the main focus is the strip. You know what I mean? Anything that's, you know, not that or can harm that or go against that in any kind of way, they gonna try to mute it for sure.
Yeah. Do you still get that today? Do you perform a lot here?
Not as much. Yeah. Like, people reach out a lot, but... It just gotta make sense,
right?
You know, because I'm born and raised here, so a lot of my hate here, a lot of my right. partners hate is here, a lot of my family members hate is here. So like, right. if I'm pulling up to your venue, it just gotta mean something. It gotta be worth it, because I might be putting somebody in harm's way. You know right. what I mean? So no, I ain't just jumping out there just because you want me to perform. Like I literally gotta benefit from it, and it gotta make sense financial wise.
Yeah, you've graduated
for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think the last time I saw you perform was at Brooklyn Bowl.
Oh
with
yeah, Dizzy. That was a dope.
That venue was crazy.
Crazy.
It kind of made me, I'm gonna be honest, bro, because like I said, like. You know, I said this to Two Realists too, is you've been part of my life for so long in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it kind of, when I see you performing at Brooklyn Bowl, I was like, damn.
And it was,
there he is. Like.
And it just sucked because even that venue, they was kind of like, keep it low.
Really?
Keep it low that you, yeah. know. I mean, it was still love. They wanted me there and I was able to, you know, tell people, but it was just still one of those things where they ain't really want to throw my face on no flyers or nothing just because.
It seems like such a safe venue, though.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like, you can't even get to the front door without, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I think a lot of that stuff is kind of like starting to be behind me, you know what I mean? But like I said, it's just got to make sense now.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, man, you've been on such a journey. So what's next, man? You got a new album coming out?
Yep. I got Far From Perfect dropping next month.
Okay.
Engineered by my boy Two-Tone. He in the building. Still with me. I actually started out with Two-Tone, and we still rocking.
Yeah, Two-Tone is like the glue to Las Vegas hip-hop, man. He's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been hearing his name since high school, and It's just so crazy how influential and how he's been able to tie the city to, you know, together in a lot of different ways. And it's crazy he pulled up here. What's up, Two-Tone? What's good, bro? How did that relationship start?
Man, that you might have to tell that story in your interview because it's so long. But I met Tone. Tone was doing engineering in his crib and shit. You know what I mean? And that's how I met him. It's crazy because from there, it came to what it is. We never stopped recording together since then, and that was 10 plus years ago. We never stopped, and just you know, recording with him, and you know, him perfecting my sound became like, all right, I'm locked in with you, and from there, you of course, like I said, I'm born and raised here, so I'm very popular. You know, in the city, even at the time. And so as soon as I started dropping stuff, you know, that kind of like brought in a wave. Like, what are you recording that? What you going on? And then, you know, next thing you know, every rapper in the city.
Yeah, you wish you didn't. Wish you didn't let the secret out.
No, I'm actually happy because then our city starts sounding better. You know, you have a lot of dudes sounding like. They recorded it in a car, so
yeah.
Like when you know, I'd rather you record with Two-Tone.
Yeah,
shit, for real.
Yeah. So is the Fake Love series is over with?
Nah.
Okay.
It ain't over with. We just I just made a turn just to do something else. I felt like Fake Love 3 was so big that to do a 4, I gotta really put a lot into it, and you know, this was just something I want to give to my supporters, and like I haven't dropped in about almost a year, so I just wanted to do something. But Fake Love 4 gonna be like super premeditated as far as the marketing and the producing and everything. I just want to make sure that's all the way right. So I want to say that one. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's gonna be my safety net.
No, that makes sense. Fake Love 2 is probably my favorite.
You like Fake Love 2?
Yeah. Yeah. What is that? The Happy Accident or Perfect Accident?
Yeah.
Yeah. That song like fucked me up.
Shout out to Two Tone. Two Tone actually came up with that title. It's so crazy because I was going through some stuff that day that just had me so blacked out. Like, well, I actually didn't know if I was coming and going. I had a lot going on. And then I pulled up on Two Tone, and really that song is really what like came out, just going through the emotions. He put the beat on and that's just what came out. I kind of felt like I was, like I said, taking a new turn in my life where I was like dead in a lot of the old shit that I was going through. But
yeah, that shit fucked me up. Like the whole layout of the song and how you know, it's like you versus you. And
yeah.
That shit fucked me up. It made me think about myself too. I'm like, damn, I got some bad habits I need to.
The video, you know, I ended up having to lay in a casket and shit. So, Lito then was kind of like tweaked out by that. Like, bro, you really want to get in this casket? But it turned out to be lit.
Why, that weirded them out?
I mean, shit, it weirded me out. It took me some time. Like, I literally was like, all right, you get in there.
Yeah.
And then you get in. I had to see three people lay in there before I got up in that motherfucker. Really? Yeah, hell yeah.
Do you think about death a lot?
More than I ever have, but not to the point where it's something that I think about daily or nothing. But, you know, it's just, you know, the older you get, of course, it's on your mind, especially when you're dealing with, you got kids and that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So now it's definitely like, what if, you know what I mean? For sure.
Yeah, I used to be, as a kid, so scared of dying, bro.
And it's so like, crazy because it started as a kid, then you live life where you're not worried about it, and then you end up back here when you get a little older. Like, damn. Yeah. It is. I think that personally, and this is just a personal feeling and a thought of mine, because, you know, just something I never share, but I just think it's the weirdest thing in the world just to not know where you're going type shit.
Yeah, it's weird, huh?
And to have this these friends and these family members that you love so much, but you don't get to stay with them forever. I think that's kind of like weak.
Yeah, it's not fair. Yeah, it's like I don't know, man. That death is super weird, bro. And it's weird to think about what happens next.
Yeah,
because we're fed, like growing up, you're fed like, oh, you're gonna go to heaven, and you fed all this weird image and, you know, this imagery about a pearly white gates and this and that. And
I think it's
confusing.
And I think it's more peaceful for the people that actually like strongly believe that is, you know, they going to heaven, you know. But for somebody that's thinking like logical, like where you might, you just never know.
Logical is a good word.
Yeah. I mean, you never know.
No, we
and
don't
the fact
know,
that
yeah.
you the fact that you don't know is the scariest thing. And I feel like it's even scarier. Like I lost my brother last year and he knew that he was leaving. I think that's even more fucked up. Like, you know, the sudden deaths is the tragic deaths fucked up. It fucked up everybody around you. But for the person, it's like, you know, one day you hear and then you gone. But it's even more fucked up to know, like, in a week, I'm out of here and I don't know why I'm
going. But he was sick?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's weird, man. And it's even weirder that you can, what I've been thinking about is like any day can just be the last one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's crazy because I'm talking to him while he was laying in his, you know, his deathbed, and he was just like in good spirits. But the fact that he kind of knew that he was leaving, and he was actually able to say it like, hey, take care, you know, my son, and look out the bros, them. And for him to be at peace with it was like, another eye-opening experience. Like, damn.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, when I think about death, man, I just want to walk up to my boss and say, fuck you, bro, I'm out. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I just be thinking, like, man, this is like, life is so short, bro, and it's like, man, what am I doing right now, you know?
So,
if I'm not doing what I want to be doing, I'm, like, wasting my goddamn time, man.
And then, you know, you make all these plans with your life, and you, like, literally might go to school for 8 years to do some shit, and then
don't
die on your ninth year. It's like, damn, bro, I just did all this shit for nothing.
Yeah, did you ever have plans for your life?
As far as?
Like a different career, like when you were a kid?
You know, as a kid, I thought I was going to the NBA. I mean, that's what I really thought. I really thought I was going to the NBA, you know, and then.
You stopped growing.
That, but I just felt in the ninth, it's so crazy because in the ninth grade, in the ninth grade, I went to Western, and you know, the varsity coach was actually like really digging the way I played. So mm-hmm. I kind of like, not saying I had a chance to leave, but I just had a chance at going to the next level, and I picked going to Cheyenne to be around my homeboys, not to even play basketball, but just all the homies was over there, and mm-hmm. That was the last time I played, you know, basketball.
Like really? That.
Yeah.
Damn. So you retired early?
I retired on some like stupid shit, and still to this day, my pops mad at me because the coach went to him and was like, make sure he come back here. He's going to play varsity next year, boom, boom. And my pops was telling me that, and I was like, nah, I want to go over here. And I really thought I was going to be able to play over there, too.
Yeah.
But when I got over there, the coach was like, you got to cut your hair or you can't hoop type shit.
What the fuck does your hair have to do with playing basketball?
Right. And I was on some shit like, nah. And it ain't even that I cared about my hair that much. It was just like, you ain't about to make me cut my hair to play basketball.
Right.
Like, nah, because especially when, like, niggas like Allen Iverson is around and shit. Like, nah, you ain't about to do that.
Right, right. Well, look how the universe worked out.
Feel me?
That's crazy.
For sure.
So what is the future? What does the next 10 years look like for you?
Man, honestly, I'm trying to run up this money, man. It's so many different things now where you can create income. So I'm just trying to, you know, do this music shit for some more years and just keep creating content and trying to tell my story the best way I can. And after that, I'm just trying to try to invest some money to where I can chill and raise my son and watch my son raise his son and still make money shit.
Yeah. So how's fatherhood been for you?
Dude, the best thing. Saved my life for sure.
Yeah, I heard him on that. I thought it was so dope you had him on that song on the Fake Love 2.
Mood swings.
He was like Power Ray, Gatorade.
Dude do it all. Like, he like big into sports and he like the top of his class in every sport that he play, and he like to do music and he do good in school. So it's like just watching him grow and just being able to plant these seeds inside my creation, it's like it keep me busy to where, you know, I know for sure if I had all that free time without having to raise a kid that I would have found trouble some kind of way, or trouble would have found me, you know what I mean? So just having a son just keep me out the way. Like, it keep me balanced where I'm not all stagnant trying to do this and do that. Like, some shit I can't even do. And even, like, as far as the music go, like, some of the music, like, I got to redo my verses sometimes just because he listening, you know what I mean? It just keeps
me. Is that weird?
Yeah, very, very, very. Because I feel like...
You got to censor yourself a little bit?
I got to censor myself, and I feel like some of the stuff that I could, you know, for the culture, probably would be out of here if I rapped about it, but it's like, man, not just him. It's like, he got friends, he got classmates, and they ain't like T-shirts just people that know I rap. It's like, they, like, know my songs. Like, his friends be like, oh, this is my favorite song, this is my, you know what I mean? So I was like, man.
Don't censor yourself, though, man. Lil Wayne had a whole bunch of kids.
Man, it's so hard when, like, see, Wayne had a daughter that probably looked up to her mama, feel me? My son is, like my biggest fan. Like, I'm talking about, if he see me doing anything, he's going to try to do it. You feel me? So it's like, when I say certain stuff, I'm like, damn. But I'm not sensitive to, I'm just more sensitive to, it's only one or two things that I just, like, I'm never stopping telling my story, the things I've been through, the things I've seen, the things I do to somebody, things somebody do to me. But it's just certain things that I just wouldn't say that I don't want him doing.
Right.
Like, but it ain't ever going to be the storyline. I'm not going to switch my storyline or censor my storyline, but it's just certain stuff that I like to keep out of the music.
Yeah. Does he want to do music?
He do. He want to do music, but he want to do a lot of other things. Yeah. So he's still a kid, so, you know, he'll find himself eventually. But right now, he doing everything.
Yeah, are you gonna like encourage him to do music if that's what he wants to do?
Mm-mm.
I
ain't encouraging him to do music. Yeah, I just feel like for somebody that to come out the streets, with no opportunities, that literally like lack that support system to be able to be greater than what we come from. You have to kind of like, music is the only fallback. It's the only thing. Like, if you're not playing sports, like, how do you get rich with these limited sources. You know what I mean? It's really rap. Like, it's the only way. He got a lot more sources than I have, so I'm not... Rap is like the last resort. You know what I mean? For sure.
Yeah, I always say, I'm going to tell my kids that if they're not the biggest fucking nerds, then I failed. Man. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Like, just music. You know, rap is dangerous.
It is.
So I definitely wouldn't be trying to influence him to do it. You know, even though it's like different rappers, you know, sometimes some rappers don't bring that energy on themselves and they successful from it. But I just think the business is just a grimy business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
For sure.
Do you ever plan on getting signed, or do you want to get signed, or is it just depends on the deal?
I'm with it if it makes sense. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm rapping to be better, get better, and to be bigger for sure. Like I started out telling my story to Las Vegas, then I started telling it to the West Coast, and then the whole world. And do I want to be bigger than that? Yeah, I want to continue to get bigger. And if a deal presents itself that can make me bigger without taking away from everything I work for, I'm with that for sure.
Yeah, I think independence is the best way to go, though.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? And you sell the fuck out some merch, bro.
For sure.
I don't know. I don't think anybody else in Vegas really sells merch like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. It's the support. Just the support, period. I don't even know why, because it's like, it's really more mainly just a word. Like, it wasn't really, like, people comparing it to clothing lines now, and it's not a clothing line. It's just, I dropped Fake Love 3, and people that liked it, the album, or supported me or the album, they just wanted the merchandise. But now it's became...
Well, it's
like,
you,
like,
bro.
Like a big thing. Yeah,
well, it's
yeah.
you. It's not necessarily like, I think as we've gotten older, like, I'm 29 now.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm able to look back in retrospect and really, like, kind of dissect what I've been able to experience. And, bro, like I said, you're the God, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's love, bro. Yeah. That's love, bro. For sure.
I think we hit our time, bro. You got a dinner to get to.
That's good.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you pulling up, bro. For real, this is like I feel like a kid in a candy store, man.
Man, hey, look, I appreciate it. And people like that, that's what I do it for. Keep it real. Like, anybody that was able to see the story, not taken away from the people that just jumped in late, but the people that's able to see where I came from, bro, and see it now and acknowledge that, like, it's love, bro, for sure.
100%, bro. Anything you need, my door is always open.
Sure.
Come back anytime, bro. Let me know.
It was love.
Till next time. Yes, sir.
Let's get it.
Whoo, that felt like.